Turn to the third chapter of Genesis for a verse. In the 24th verse of the third chapter of Genesis, "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned everywhere, every way to keep the way of the tree of life." We have the way or the gate mentioned here. And I'd like to speak tonight a few moments on the gate and the door. And we'll turn to a few scriptures that would bring this before us. We have the first one here. It was the way to the tree of life. We see in this picture the door is shut. And when we inquire why, we find that man had sinned. And so lest he live forever in that state, the way was shut to the tree of life. What an awful condition after God had prepared such a lovely garden for man to live in. And he'd put that pear there to enjoy happiness in the garden that he had made, surrounding them with every blessing. But we discover here the heart of man as he turns aside from his God and he listens to the enemy and he forfeits everything. And now lest he eat of that tree of life and live forever, in that sinful condition, God shuts the way. Now we'll turn to another scripture. It's in Job 38, verse 17. "Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death?" Well, now the Spirit of God brings before man's conscience, the awful end of one who is in such a condition, shut out from the tree of life. "Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death?" Some years ago, there was a university professor who was an atheist who suddenly became very sick. Some young men in the college in which he was teaching, who were Christians, got together to pray for him. So they asked his wife if they could have her permission to pray for this man. And she said, "Of course not. We don't believe in those things." But after talking with her on several occasions, she finally agreed, as he grew worse and worse and his days were numbered. He was at the gates of death. And so they got together and they prayed for him. God raised him up. Perfect health. And I understand he's preaching the gospel today. He was at the gates of death. Some of you know this story better than I. But God heard the prayers of those young men. And when he came out of his sickness, he said to his wife, "What happened?" She said, "I can't tell you." He said, "You must tell me." So she told him that they were praying for him. And it was the means of his conversion. He had been brought to the gates of death. Now the question is, have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Oh, my friend, tonight you're going on in the ways of this world, perhaps, enjoying the things of this life in apparent prosperity. But are you aware of what lies ahead of you? Have the gates of death ever been opened to you? Have you seen the end of things? God wants you to be awakened tonight to realize your peril, your need. Because he has a Savior for you. There is a way. There is a way that's prepared whereby you might escape the gates of eternal death. And so the question arises here, have the gates of death been opened unto thee? You know, it's one thing to know these things, and it's another thing to be brought face to face with death. And how many a soul has been to realize their peril and come to the Savior? Some have turned aside and refused the instruction into their own eternal ruin. Now we turn to a scripture in Matthew's Gospel, 7th chapter, the 13th verse. "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Verse 21. "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now we have the straight gate before us. And the Spirit of God tells us tonight to enter in at the straight gate. And what is the straight gate? Oh, you know only too well what the straight gate is. It's the Lord himself, the straight gate. Is there another? No, my friend, there's only one gate. One gate. And we are warned in this passage of the awful consequences of delay. Because the Master is going to rise and shut to the door someday. It might be today. And so we warn you tonight, dear friends, don't delay to enter in to this gate. It says, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." So as we have the way of life before us, we have the way of destruction as well. And the solemn consequences for those who reject the way, the gate, the door. Now we'll turn to a scripture in the 10th chapter of John. John 10, 9th verse. And here we have it just as plain as we can in scripture. "I am the door." Jesus is speaking. "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture." And so we hear the little children singing that song, "I am the door," and so on. One door and only one. Now, which side of the door are you on tonight, dear friend? You dear children here tonight, you young people, on which side of the door are you? Oh, how plain this scripture is. The Lord Jesus says, I am the door. It isn't a question, dear one, how much knowledge you have of scripture, but it's who you know. Do you know Jesus tonight as your Savior? And so he pleads with you, and it might be the last time, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That word saved, how good it is. The Spirit of God gives us to know now that we're saved because what God says in his word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. He that despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that regardeth the commandment shall be rewarded. Now turn with me to Revelation, the 21st chapter. We'll start reading in the 9th verse. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the 12 gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now in this description we have 12 gates are mentioned, but we have also the foundations mentioned. And the foundations, we notice, are the names, in the foundations are the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. This, my dear friend, tonight, my dear friends, gives us the way that God has provided through his precious word, the ministry of the apostles and prophets, to let us know how to enter in to this city. And we notice here then that there are four avenues, four approaches to this city. And in each approach, there are three gates. Now really, the whole picture refers to that one who says, I am the way. But God is giving us this picture here to illustrate something for our hearts. And we have first mentioned the east gate, the east gate. Now we know that the sun rises in the east, it sets in the west. It makes us think of the very beginnings of this life, youth. And so we'll call that gate opportunity. It has three gates, really. Opportunity. Oh, my dear young people tonight, have you availed yourself of this gate? This first gate, the east. Are you going to wait, as our little song that we had tonight, until the whole life is spent, thinking maybe you'll come in at the west gate? Because you might not. No, the word of God says, he that often being reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy, the east gate. Oh, what an opportunity when you're young to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. In fact, we have three gates mentioned in each place. And we're told in Job 33 that God speaks once, yea, twice, and man perceiveth it not. How many times has he spoken to you, dear young friend, tonight? Has he spoken the once yet? Oh, I'm sure he has. Most of you here have been at the gospel meeting time and time again, and you've heard the invitation of God's mercy to you as the sinner. And yet you have gone out unsaved. Has he spoken the second time? Has he spoken the third time? And perhaps you've passed up the east gate. Shall we turn to a scripture illustrating this? In the 18th chapter of Luke, 18th of Luke and the 18th verse. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing? Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Here's a young man, as we learned in another gospel. He's a young man. And he had everything here. And he counted on what he had of his personal possessions. And you know, this may be all right for the present, my friend, but what about the future? Oh, how many souls are selling the future for the present tonight? Are you? Have you sold out the future? Your own precious soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Are you selling out your soul for present possession? The Word of God declares plainly that there are two things particularly that hinder souls from receiving Christ. One is their habits, as we have here. And the other is their companions, their associates. Is there something like this in your life that's keeping you from Christ tonight? Keeping you from entering the East Gate, dear young people? Well, this man, he had great possessions. We learn, if it's the same one, that in another gospel he came running to Jesus, but he went away sorrowful. You want to be happy? The only way that you can be happy is to be in communion with your Creator. Communion. So we have the East Gate then. Now we have turned to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. We'll read in the 11th chapter, 7th verse, Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. I believe we have a suggestion in this second verse of the 12th chapter that there's a possibility of the light in your soul being darkened if you reject that light. Yes, my friend, light rejected brings darkness. Know how many a young person, with the thought of being advanced in this world and the present things, has gradually turned into their soul into darkness in the things of God. Oh, how solemn it is, dear young people, to not enter the East Gate when you know about the East Gate. Yes, in your youth, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before these days come, when darkness settles down over your soul. And it will. What a solemn thing it is to see young people that have no thought of God, no thought of their responsibility to God, not interested to speak of God or his Christ. But there's a day coming when God is going to bring you into judgment, as we've read. In fact, we're told that he's going to bring every work into judgment. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Before all these things come, and oh, what a happy thing it is to know Christ as your Savior, to receive him in your youth, that your life might be a happy one down here, and you might miss the sorrows of this world, but also, my friend, that you might enter that city that we read of in Revelation. That you might enter that city. Well, we've noticed then the East Gate. But now we have, in Revelation 21, another gate. But before we speak of these gates, I want to remind you of the character of the city. It says, the city in the 11th verse, having the glory of God. Oh, what a city this is. Is your heart attracted to this city that has the glory of God? Having the glory of God. That is, this city will be the medium in the millennial day to display that glory to the earth. And her light was like unto a stone most precious. Most precious. That's the light. You know, later on we learn, we won't read it, but we learn that this city doesn't need any temple because the Lord himself is the temple of it. It needs no artificial or created light because the Lamb is the light of it. Yes, character of this city is blessed. And God wants you to enter it. He's made provision that you might. It's unto all, but it's upon all them that believe. And you're invited tonight to enter this city. To one of these gates, you're invited to tonight to enter. But it has a wall, great and high. You can't get over the wall. No, you can't get over the wall. There's only one way to come into the city, and that's by the way of the gate. And as we've already read, the Lord Jesus says, I am the door. Are you willing to come God's way tonight? How many have tried to make their own way and built their own tower and so on, as in Babel? But there's only one way. The wall's great, it's high, and there's no possibility of entering this city except by the gate. And on the north, three gates. On the north, three gates. Well, this is the gate of adversity. Evil comes out of the north. And so you can see what you might expect, dear friend, if you've missed the first gate. And as the darkness settles down in your life, and oh, how often adversity has come. And souls have been awakened by it, too. But you know, adversity doesn't save the soul. Knowest thou not, O man, that it's the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance? Not adversity. But God may use adversity to awaken you. We'll notice in the book of Matthew again, the Gospel of Matthew, in the 8th chapter, rather, the 9th chapter, in the 27th verse. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man knoweth, but they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Now we have adversity, trouble, two blind men. But the Lord Jesus has found them in their adversity. It may be so with you tonight, dear friend, that you're in the midst of trouble. And oh, how good it would be to come in. If you haven't come in at the East Gate, to come in tonight at the North Gate. In the day of adversity, consider, Scripture says, consider. Have you considered your end? Perhaps God is speaking to you tonight that you might consider the end of your pathway. And the Lord again is pleading, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Won't you come in tonight at the north gate? Like the blind man did. Yes, God has mercy for you, just like he did for the blind man. Mercy for the sinner. But we're told that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And adversity is the result of that sin. Oh, yes. The north gate. The story has been told before here of the father who was unsaved, but he had a daughter who was a believer. And one day, he took his daughter out to get some ice cream, I believe it was. And as the little child crossed the street, she mistook the directions of her father. And right before his eyes, that little one was cut off. And he said, oh Lord, did it take this? In the day of adversity, consider. How the Lord speaks sometimes very loudly. But are you going to pass the north gate? Pass it? You'll notice then in the 21st of Revelation again, the next gate. And on the south, three gates. God speaketh once, yea, twice. God speaks. And so, now the south gate, what's that? Prosperity. It's the land of plenty. It's the land of ease and pleasure. And how many are found at that gate tonight? And this is a hard gate to enter, because man doesn't realize his need at the south gate. But still, God is opening the south gate for you tonight. We were just read a few moments ago how hard it was for rich men to enter into the kingdom of God. But there are those who have entered. Yes. All the surrounded with all the privileges that God has given to Western civilization because of the embracing of Christianity, at least outwardly. Have you ever thought, dear friend, that it is God who allowed this prosperity for your good? Have you ever thanked him for it? The pleasant land, the south gate. Are you going to enter by the south gate? Perhaps you've had the opportunity of the east gate and you wanted to live for this world. You wanted to make money. You wanted to have fame, position, pleasure, whatever it is. Perhaps you have passed through adversity to get it. Who knows? And now you're at the south gate. Remember, there's only one gate left after the south gate. How is it with your soul tonight? Are you trusting in that precious blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed on Calvary's cross? It wasn't easy for him to provide a salvation for you. And yet, as a result of that salvation, as a result of embracing it, you're reaping the fruit that Christianity has brought in, at least outwardly. Have you ever thanked God for it? Oh, my friend, consider the south gate while you still have the opportunity. Because, you know, these things won't last forever, and pretty soon, all that which you have in your hands will pass away. And if you've been unfaithful, that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? Have you made use of that which is in your hand for God's glory? Have you honored the Savior who provided it all for you? Have you received Christ as your own personal Savior tonight? Or are you still outside, having not entered any of these gates? Turn to the 12th chapter of Luke for a moment. The 16th verse. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Well, we have here then the south gate. We have the man that found in prosperity to tear down his barns and build greater. And he speaks to his soul. He wouldn't say this out loud, you know. But he's talking to himself. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat. Drink. Be merry. That's the spirit of the age, isn't it? But he's forgotten God. And you know, the way this age will close, men will be overcharged with the cares of this life, present things, forgetting God and His Christ. Oh, think, my friend, of all the privileges that this nation, United States and Western Europe, have had. The gospel of the grace of God, the highest truth that God has ever given to man. Not only that man might not die, that he might have a continuation of life, as the law proposed for one who kept it, but now that you might enter that city that we've been reading about, that heavenly city. It's spoken of, as we had in our little hymn tonight, of the Father's house, the very place where the Son Himself lives, the Son of God. And He said to those who believe, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Oh, how man loves to be free. To cut all the bonds that tie him down. Ah, my friend, you'll be free if you have Christ. Free in the Father's house forever as one of the children. That's what God proposes for one who enters the gate. Now compare it, what you get at the south gate. On the outside, what do you have? Think it over, my friend. What do you have? Whatever you have is going to perish. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. And that new life is life in the Spirit. And here's a man in all his foolishness. He's thinking only tonight, present advantage, and selling out the future for the present. And God is proposing to you that eternal life that comes through His Son, Jesus. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, we have one more gate left. But I want to read a verse in the 22nd of Revelation, or 14th verse. I want to read it a little different. I believe it's not translated as clearly as it might be. Found in another translation. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. How much we have here? Wash the robes. Oh, how can you wash your robe tonight, my friend? How can you enter the gate? Well, the Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross that you might have your robes washed, that you might be fit for the presence of God, that there would be no defilement upon you. In fact, not only will you have your robes washed, but you'll have a new robe. It's Christ. It covers you all over. And as God sees you in that city that we've been reading about, He'll see you as He sees His own Son in all the perfection of His person. Yes, because the believer stands in all that perfection if he has Christ as his Savior. We're accepted in the Beloved One. With all the acceptance that Christ, as man, is accepted before God, that's your position. And beside that, it says that they may have right to the tree of life. Now in the book of Genesis, we notice that the way was shut up to the tree of life. The angel stood there with a sword, a flaming sword, to close the way of the tree of life, lest man eat in that awful state and live forever. But now God, having provided a new nature for man through His own Son, through the work that's done on Calvary's cross, should you believe by faith, receive it for your own tonight. Your robe's washed. Now you have the right to eat of that tree of life. It's Christ. It's the full, mature fruit of heaven that you'll feed on up there forever, that you have the privilege of feeding on down here if you know the Lord Jesus. And it says, and may enter in through the gates, not over the wall, through the gates, into the city. Is this where you want to go, dear friend, tonight? Are you looking ahead? Now we notice the last gate, the west gate. And on the west, three gates. Well, we know what the west suggests. It's the sun setting. We've been speaking of the young people and their privilege of entering the east gate. We've been speaking of the day of adversity, the day of prosperity. Opportunity, adversity, prosperity. But now what about the west gate? There may be those in this room tonight who have passed up all three of these gates. Think of it. And now they're standing at the west gate. God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Some years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, I was visiting our brother Lawson Richards, that some of you may be acquainted with, I'm sure. Nova Scotia. And he asked me if I'd like to go see a man who was 100 years old. A man who was at the West Gate. This man had been a criminal all of his life. And he had spent more time in the penitentiary than he had out of it. And he was at the West Gate. Oh, my friends. God allows some men's sins to be manifested. But you know that your heart and mine are just as wicked. If God allowed it to be seen, there may be someone in this room tonight, not necessarily 100 years old, but standing at the west gate. Your last opportunity to enter into that city. Perhaps you have spurned the love of Christ. You've turned aside time and time again. Brother Richard said to me, this won't be a very happy visit. because he said the man's on his deathbed and he's 100 years old. He said he may be delirious even. But as we approached his bed, he said, "Is that you, Lawson? I have good news for you. God has saved my black soul at the West Gate." Oh, my friend, it may not be so with you. If you trifle with God's grace any longer, God in his mercy reached out to that man. In all his wickedness, and he saved his soul. And I said to him, how did this come about? Oh, he said, God put me on my back, and as I lay there, I remembered the verses that my grandmother taught me. Mind you, almost 100 years before, his grandmother had taught him verses whereby he might be saved. Remember that, grandmothers? Oh, what a privilege to teach your grandchildren the Word of God. And remember, too, what God says about it. Inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He was at the West Gate. In a few more days, he was in eternity. He went to be with Christ. Because, my friend, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Are you willing to come tonight by way of mercy? Some time before this, I was in Newfoundland, and I met a man also 100 years old. And I tried to give him the gospel. He was a deep sea diver. He spent his life in the ocean, in and out of it, rescuing souls and taking up ruins from wrecks and bodies and so on. And so I tried my best to reach him with the gospel. He was at the West Gate, my friend. Yes, he was at the West Gate. But every time I tried to present Christ to him, he'd turn around and tell me about another incident of his life. He was all occupied with himself. He had no time for the Christ of God. Oh, my friend, how is it with you tonight? Are you at the West Gate? You have no time for Christ? There's a day coming when the Lord Jesus will shut to the door, and then where will you be? 15th verse of the 22nd chapter. This is outside of the city, my friend. This is one who has passed the East Gate, the North Gate, the South Gate, and the West Gate. Is it so with you? Without a dog. And sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. 17th verse. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Oh, my friend, you stand at the East Gate tonight. Won't you come? Won't you come? Or at the North or the South Gate. Won't you come tonight? And perhaps you're standing at the West Gate. God is pleading with you. He's offering the water of life once more. Won't you take it and have eternal life? As you stand there at one of these gates, because you're standing at one of the gates tonight. Thank God for his mercy that you're standing at one of the gates. Are you going to enter in? Or are you going to turn aside once more? He that often being reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. But the Lord offers you salvation tonight. Come. Won't you come tonight?